Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is time that we might begin our morning service. If you would please turn to number 2 for our opening song in our Christmas hymnals. Number 2, and before we get ready to sing that, let me read the announcements and then we'll stand and sing that song. Me in a word of prayer. Our most kind and loving Father, we feel thy children desire to come before thee this morning to thank you for the many blessings of life and for this beautiful day in which you've given us. For this time of the year that we can reflect upon the birth of thy Son and as he came in the flesh that he might overcome all things, to be an example for us, to be able to know how to succor his children. I'm grateful, Father, for the love in which he showed for us. I pray that you might forgive us and where we have sinned before thee. You might strengthen us and help us to overcome those things that easily beset us in our lives. I pray now, Father, that you be with our brother as he stands before us. May your spirit rest upon him now at this time. Give him thought. Help him to express those things in which you've given unto him. Soften our hearts and open our eyes and ears that we might hear and see and to be able to apply those things to our lives. I am grateful, Father, for your love and long-suffering with us. We do ask and invite thy Spirit to be with us at this time. And we pray it in the name of thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a special now at this for our second song.
Lift up your heads, no need to mourn. His hand is stretched out still, for unto us a child is born, his promise to fulfill. child that was born there is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He will come
again. Thank you, Melissa, for that beautiful song and special. Well, the time has come that we might hear the Word of God preached. And our brother, Jim Jr., our assistant pastor, is ready to stand before us and to deliver that message that God would give to him. So I ask and pray for your kindly attention as he would deliver the message this morning.
Thank you, Gordon. Good morning. It's good to see you all here. It's good to see all your smiley faces. This morning I would like to start out by reading a list of names to you. 8 names. In some way, these people have impacted your life. I want to know if you know them. First name is Mary, and I butcher names, so I apologize. You ought to hear when I call a name out in triage at the hospital, I have to say it in 4 different ways until I finally get somebody to stand up. And they always go, it's pronounced like this. But it looks like Spottle, Mary Spottle. Does anybody here know who she is? What about Theodore Harold Merriman? What about Adolf von Bär? Not Bär Aspirin. How about Anthony Barmary? Frank Ingerman? Boy, I'm getting a lot of hands here. Ira T. Donald. Earl S. Tupper. William B. Shockley. Edward Simon. None of you know these people? Well, Mary invented the turnable laser that is used to make fuel for nuclear plants. She learned that if you pass a laser through different colored dyes, it changes the property of the laser and therefore can be used for different things. Every time you check out at the grocery store, what do you pass it over? Every time you mail a letter, there's a barcode. That is part of her invention. Theodore. He's an optometrist. They invented the ruby laser for eye surgery. Adolf von Bär invented something in the late 1800s. He called it phenols. We call it plastics. Anthony Barmary and Frank Ingerman invented something that's ancient to some of you, the rotary telephone. But they also had a great deal to do with the touch phone. Ira McDonald, for those of you mothers have gone in and laid on the table and had that cold thing plastered to your stomach so you can see your child, and he's an obstetrician in England, they invented the ultrasound. And I was for sure thought that most of the women would know Earl. Tupperware. Or for those of us that like to raid the refrigerator late at night and have to go through there and lift all them lids and burp them back so the wife didn't know we got into their food. William Shockley. The transistor. Edward Simon. Simonized wax. Did something else. He invented polystyrene. Every time you have to cut open the cotton pick and clear plastic wrappers around stuff, he's the man that invented it. It's moldable clear plastics. That was his claim to fame. These people have impacted your lives, but yet you didn't know them. This morning I would like to talk about another inventor, a creator, an author that has impacted your life. And I hope when I say his name that every hand goes up. His name is Jesus Christ. I doubt in today's world, today's society, there's not a person that hasn't heard his name. Not all choose to believe, but they've heard him. So there are those out there that may have the same impact on their lives as these other names that I've read. But it didn't change the fact that in today's society, he has impacted your life. This is the season that we celebrate his birth. It doesn't matter if he was born on April 4th, August 10th. It doesn't matter. This is the day that the world chooses to celebrate his birth. And I would like to start in John to verify my analogy of him as creator, an inventor, an author. We're going to John in the first chapter, the first through the fifth verses, and then down to the 14th verse. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." The inventor. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." 14th verse. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Turn over into 3 Nephi. Christ speaking, so on page 628. His own testimony, starting with the 44th verse. "Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things in them are. And I was with the Father from the beginning, and I in the Father, and the Father in me. And in me hath the Father glorified his name." Every time you walk out and see the stars twinkling or the moon rise, you've seen the handiwork of his hand. The beauty of the things that he has made. Similar to the testimony that Bob had last Wednesday night, I can't look at a child And I can't marvel at the things God has made, the things that He has put into place through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we are. You can't look at a child or a leaf for me and to see that there's anything behind it but a master plan behind it, a creator, master inventor, because a human body is a marvelous machine. All the things that go on every microsecond to keep you alive is phenomenal. You don't have to think about them. They just take place because the master craftsman put it there. While you're in the Book of Mormon, I want you to go ahead and turn over into Moroni. Page 762. The sixth chapter of Moroni. Just the fifth verse. And their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayers, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and the finisher of their faith. No greater book has ever been written. More books have been written about his life than anybody else. But all the written words that we can come up, the poetry, the songs, as beautiful as our songs are, cannot match his. Cannot match the things that he has written. Since I like to prove all things in both books, I'd like for you to turn over into Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Very similar. The 12th chapter of Hebrews, reading the first and the second verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sins which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. To me, I cannot separate any of life's of Christ's life. I cannot separate his birth from his death. We're celebrating his birth in this season, but it was his whole life from the beginning, the first breath as a human being, to his last breath, that gives us our hope, that brought about that plan of salvation that we are so in need of. I'd like to read some prophecy now concerning his coming. I'd like to start in Isaiah. Probably most of you know where I'm going. Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Hearing one of the songs that we sang for Sunday school. The other thing I would like for you to do is keep a mental picture in your mind, or write them down, the different names that he's called. The names that Christ has. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah was telling the people there in Israel some 550 years, no, 750 years before the birth of Christ. And it's also in the Book of Mormon, almost the same words where Isaiah is being quoted in 2 Nephi in the 9th chapter, the 66th verse. But there it is written 550 years before Christ. The people are being warned of the coming of Christ and the importance of Him in their life even before He got here. Were we told of the importance of these names that I read off? The importance of their lives in our lives? No. Has there been anybody else that is so prophesied, so foretold of, that had that important impact on our lives, or should have that important impact on our lives? I don't know of one. Let's go over into Alma. Fifth verse, page 323. Just a little over 80 years before his birth. Starting with the 13th verse. For behold, I say unto you, there be many things to come, and behold, there is one thing which is more important than them all. He was telling them of all the things that are going to come in our future. There's just one thing that was most important. Well, that is in our past. That is in our past. We can look back on his birth. We can look back and see that prophecy was being fulfilled. They had to look forward to it. And had to keep an eye of faith on those words that they heard to make sure that they were watching and waiting for this birth. For behold, the time is not far distant that the Redeemer liveth and cometh among his people. Behold, I do not say that he will come among us at the time of his dwelling in his mortal tabernacle. For behold, the Spirit hath not said unto me that this should be the case. Now as to this I do not know, but this much I do know, that the Lord God hath power to do all the things which are according to his word. But behold, the Spirit has said this much unto me, saying, cry unto this people, saying, repent ye, and repair the way of the Lord, and walk in his paths which are straight. And I cannot read this, but the thought comes to my mind, what is our commission today? Everybody that stands behind this pulpit, even those in the workplace, it's the same commission, identically the same. Repent ye, repair the way of the Lord, and walk in his paths which are straight. Why? Because he is returning. It is a promise. We can see that he came. Now, our is to look for his coming the second time. For behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the Son of God cometh upon the face of the earth. And I can guarantee that. Why? Because the prophecies that were told, foretold of his coming were fulfilled in the scriptures. So I know with a surety that the prophecies of his return are just as accurate, just as true, and be fulfilled in the very same way. Every jot, every tittle, every dotted I, every period will be fulfilled. Nothing will be left out. And behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is the land of our fathers, she being a virgin, a precious and chosen vessel. who shall be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, and bring forth a son, yea, even the Son of God. And he shall go forth, suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. Just like me, the writers of the Book of Mormon could not separate his whole life. They did not want to diminish one aspect of his life. They wanted to cover it all and foretell of the importance of his being, the importance of him coming. And this is that the word might be fulfilled was said, he shall take upon him the pains and the sickness of his people, and he will take upon him death, and he may loose the bands of death, which binds his people. And he shall take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy, according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that his Son would know how to deal with us, how to see to our needs, not our wants, not our desires, but our needs. The basic things that are required to sustain life, physical and spiritual. To see us according to our infirmities, our needs. Now the Spirit knoweth all things. Nevertheless, the Son of God suffereth according to the flesh, that he might take upon him the sins of his people, that he may blot out their transgressions according to the power of his deliverance. And now behold, this is the testimony which is in me. That was a testimony that was given unto him, a prophecy that was fulfilled. Saying in the Book of Mormon, let's turn over into Mosiah, page 216. Mosiah, the first chapter, starting with the 97th verse. This is a little over 100 years before the birth of Christ, 125 years or so. For behold, the time cometh, and not so far distant, that with the power the Lord omnipotent, who reigneth, who was, and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men, shall dwell in the tabernacle of clay, and shall go forth among men, working mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear, and curing all manner of diseases. And he shall cast out devils, or the evil spirit which dwelleth in the heart of the children of men. And lo, he shall suffer temptation and pain of body, hunger, thirst, fatigue, and more than man can suffer except unto death. For behold, blood cometh from every pore. So great shall be his anguish for the wickedness and the abomination of his people. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and of earth, the Creator of all things from the beginning, and his mother shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even through faith on his name. Even through faith. Sounds like John 3:16. And even after all this, he shall be considered, they shall consider him a man, and saying that he has a devil, and shall scourge him, and shall crucify him. And then he shall rise the third day from the dead, and behold, he standeth to judge the world. And behold, all these things are done that the righteous judgment might come upon the children of men. For behold, and also his blood atoneth for the sins of those who have fallen by the transgression of Adam, who hath died, not knowing the will of God concerning them, or who have ignorantly sinned. But woe, woe unto him who knoweth, and he rebelleth against God, for salvation cometh not to none such, except it be through repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord God hath sent his holy prophets among all the children of men to declare these things to every kindred, nation, and tongues. And thereby whosoever shall believe that Christ shall come, the same might receive remission of their sins, and rejoice with exceeding great joy, even as though he had already come among them. These are prophecies concerning his coming. They have been fulfilled. We've seen the fulfillment of these things. I want you to think about it for a second. We have a lot of companies that say you have to have a mission statement. I want to show you that this individual that they're prophesying about, that we know has come, had a mission statement. Staying in the Book of Mormon, flip over to the 3rd Nephi, the 4th chapter. Page 628. I read one source from the Book of Mormon and the other source out of the Bible. 3 Nephi, the 4th chapter, starting with the 42nd verse. Yea, verily I say unto you, if ye will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, my arms of mercy are extended towards you, and whosoever shall come unto, whoever will come, him will I receive, and blessed are those who shall come unto me. That was his mission statement. Come unto me. My arms are open. My arms are extended. Come. This is the work that I have planned that I am going to do. Turn over to Matthew, the 11th chapter, which has become one of my favorite verses. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Christ speaking once again as he was in the Book of Mormon. He didn't teach differently at each individual, each kindred, each nation. He taught them each the same. Here he says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This was his mission statement. Come unto me, learn of me, partake of me. As we read in the scriptures, we can see that that was fulfilled. That he lived that very life. He did that very thing. I often smile when I hear the statement that Christ came into the world quietly the first time. When he was born. That's not the way he came into this world. He came in as a babe, yes, but it was far from being quiet. Let's turn into the Christmas story. We're going to Luke, the first chapter. starting with the first verse. Or excuse me, the 26th verse. Luke 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. This is fulfillment of the prophecies that I have read. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And her being a proper young lady, thought that was a strange way of a greeting. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt name him Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore all that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And you need to remember that in this time of celebration of the birth of Christ. In him there is nothing that is impossible. It can be accomplished through him. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. That was an important thing. It's a very small, brief verse. But let's think about it. What was she saying? She was relinquishing her whole life over to God. Everything. Her whole life was being turned over. She was espoused, but had not been with him. Now she's going to be pregnant. She's going to be carrying a child. In a short while, this will be showing. People are going to know about her life. If you lived in a small town, you know that everybody knows everything about everybody. Just like the Church of Christ. Everybody knows everything about everybody. They're going to know. Are you able to submit yourself that way before God? Are you able to humble yourself in such a manner that you can relinquish every aspect of your very livelihood over to him? She just did. She did that very thing. And we are the recipients of that very selfless same act. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered to the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come unto me? Prophecy. The spirit of revelation came upon her and told her of the babe that Mary was carrying. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her of the Lord. Let's continue the story of the birth of Christ. Let's go over into the second chapter of Luke, starting with the first verse. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world shall be taxed. And this tax was the first made when Cyrenius was governor of Caesarea. And all went to be taxed, every one into his city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee unto the city of Nazareth, to Judah, and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. We've all heard this story. We see it. We sing about it. Of how they looked for shelter and couldn't find any. And wound up being in a manger or in a stall with livestock to give birth into the child of God. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Would you keep your finger right there? Would you turn over into 3 Nephi with me? Page 601. And read what happened on this land at the time of the birth of Christ. 3 Nephi, the first chapter, starting with the 15th verse. And behold, the time is at hand, and this night shall the sign be given. And it came to pass that the words which came unto Nephi were fulfilled according to as they had been spoken. For behold, at the going down of the sun, there was no darkness. And the people began to be astonished because there was no darkness when the night came. He didn't just sneak in to the world. He came in with a great announcement. There was no darkness. Not exactly one that wants to hide their appearance. Walk in with a bright light at your back. Continue with her story here in Luke. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said, said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see these things which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. I've heard explosions where whole mountainsides were blown up. I cannot imagine how loud the angel songs must have been. Not quiet, but with great praise, with great enthusiasm, because they knew the prophecy was being fulfilled. They knew that the plan of salvation was put into place and was going to be fulfilled. And that the glory of God was being shown into all the world. Thank you. Not a quiet entrance. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in the manger. The 16th verse. And when they had seen it, they made known about the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The birth of our Savior. The story of the Magi are found in Matthew, the second chapter, if you'd like to read them. Of the things that they saw that star in the heavens that led them to where Christ lay. That very star was the one that shone brightly, that there was no night on this land. It was another complete day. So ponder upon the things of your heart of this season, as we celebrate the birth of our Christ. And when you see a star twinkle, or you see the moon rise, or if you hear a baby cry, know that He came that we might have joy. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Yes. Okay, we can take care of that. You can leave it there. Let's turn to 96 in our Christmas songbooks. 96 for our closing song.
Thank you.
Bow your head with me in a word of prayer. Our most kind and loving Father, I'm thankful for the words that we were able to hear this morning, to be mindful of the things that were recorded long ago and the promises of thy Son and the forgiveness that comes through faith and following after the commandments in which he had delivered. I pray, Father, that you be with us this day. Help us to keep it holy before thee. Be mindful of thy children wherever they are and whenever they meet together. I pray and ask that your Spirit would be with them according to the promise. Now, Father, we do thank you, and we pray these things in the blessed name of thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jim.